Hello there, and welcome to Trooper Talk Podcast. Today I'm going to be talking about The Mandalorian Death Watch. So, if you've watched Clone Wars, you'll probably have heard of Death Watch. They were pretty pivotal in the storyline. They were essentially a terrorist and religious zealot group of Mandalorian warriors that opposed Duchess Satine Kryze and her new Mandalorian pacifist government. They thought that the bloody glories of Mandalore's past should be kept alive, and they did not support pacifism. Their leader was Pre Vizsla, who was the governor of their home base, Concordia. Concordia was one of Mandalore's moons. It was dotted with mines because it had been being mined for Beskar, the Mandalorian steel that was almost indestructible. Now, they were extremely dangerous and high-trained. All of their warriors were very, very successful in their missions, except for in their attempts to assassinate Duchess Satine, which did not go well. Now, when they were recruiting for the Death Watch, they would recruit from all different places, from the ranks of bounty hunters and mercenaries in the galaxy, and Mandalorian worlds, industries with people who had skills they wanted, even law enforcement agents. Their training would consist of 4 weeks of basic training, learning not only basic skills of combat, but fundamentals of operating within a unit. They would weed out the unworthy and poorly motivated through the training to see who would be left. After the 4 weeks, they would be divided into two fire teams, and they would be overseen through this training by a rally master in red armor. After all of the basic training, they would be reorganized into fire teams after the stragglers were removed, and so it's only the pure Mandalorian warriors left. They would take 2 to 4 weeks more in more physical training, ranging from melee weapons and ranged weapons to unarmed combat techniques. They would participate in live fire drills and war games at the end of it, and learn Mandalorian history and Death Watch objectives. The fourth stage and final one was 2 weeks of jetpack training. Once they were finished with that, they would take the Oath of the Death Watch and don their armor. Now, their armor was not pure Beskar like Mando Din Djarin from The Mandalorian. It was more a mix of Durasteel and Beskar because Beskar was so rare at this point, it was hard to find. And so they really just couldn't make pure Beskar for everyone. So, as we know, if you have watched the later seasons of Clone Wars, Death Watch becomes increasingly pivotal because they make an alliance with the newly returned Sith Lord Darth Maul. Now, Pre Vizsla becomes Darth Maul's assistant in a way, and they make an alliance. They manage to take over Mandalore and establish themselves as the government, but then Pre Vizsla and Maul get in a fight. Vizsla challenges Maul to a fight, and they duel lightsaber to darksaber. Maul ends up killing Pre Vizsla and taking the darksaber. He starts ruling the Mandalorians, and the Mandalorian Death Watch, they change their armor to fit him. So they cover it in red and black paint, and some of them even put horns on their helmet to match his look. Now, they started following, but some of the Death Watch broke off and became Mandalorian loyalists, led by Bo-Katan Kryze. They managed to fight off Maul and his Mandos, and with the assistance of the Jedi and clone troopers, were able to be successful in taking them down. So, overall, if you look at the Star Wars series, then you will know that they were very, very pivotal in all of everything, really. And if we see Mando, Bo-Katan comes back in Season 2, and she says that he's a child of the Watch. Could this mean he was a descendant of the Death Watch? I guess we'll have to wait and see. That's all for now. Thanks for listening.